GIJOECustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs!
I will be bringing my 12-inch, but they are action figures.
Why do I only get one and you're buying six?
Yeah.
It's an army book or something.
Yeah. Step one.
Yeah.
Put a flag.
Yeah.
Cut a hole in the box.
Yeah.
Step two, put the flag in the box.
Ooh,
you beautiful bearded man, you.
Go big or go home. I wanted it to be finished because I was looking forward to having, you know, to getting the result and everything. That when I was posting the picture, I was shaking a little bit.
Yeah, tell me, are you a twister or are you a dunker?
I was looking forward to being able to say, hi, Joe Michael.
Hi, P-Love, a.k.a. John. And we got a good show tonight. I'm here with...
The Brad, TR1AL.
And this is Dan, a.k.a. The Spectre.
And our special guest co-host tonight, Michael, a.k.a. Joe Czar.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here in place of Joe Michaels, and I really hope I can live up to his glasses.
Well, you got enough gray in your beard. That ought to do it.
Getting Windex?
Oh.
I just said more than enough gray.
We're going to start with our guests tonight, Brian and Steve, from the Iowa Assembly Required.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. Hawks won, so we're happy.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like Floyd of Rosedale is back in Iowa City, so all is well.
It should be.
So you got a little show coming up in November. You want to kick it off and tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. This will be our third annual Assembly Required. It's kind of just started off as something Steve said to me one time when we were sitting around talking about why don't we just do our own little Joe thing. You know, we've made some connections here in Iowa. And part of my job, what I do is help promote and create events. And so I said, well, yeah, we could do something like this. This is no problem. So we started off over at Jay's Comic Book Shop, Jay's CD and Hobby, over on the east side, and did it for 2 years there with great success. I mean, we were really actually surprised how many people we ended up getting. I think this last year we had about 125 people show up. We're going bigger and better this year. We're going to be in the downtown Des Moines Library. We will be actually having three panelists, we're hoping, if everything works out right. We'll be doing some giveaways. Well, actually a lot of giveaways. Actually, I think sometimes we get obsessive with the giveaways.
Yeah, a little too much, but.
We should have Ron Wagner, who drew, G.I. Joe back with, Larry Hama I'll say late 80s, early 90s, just to be kind to Ron. he had a pretty good run there, and then he had for a few years picked up some IDW issues and things like that. Plan on having a few vendor tables. The Joe D class guys will be there. A few other surprises. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a pretty crazy Saturday.
Okay, what's the date on that again?
November 16th, it's a Saturday.
Awesome. And for those of you who've never been to the Des Moines Library, it's a fairly new library, and it's pretty interesting, for lack of a better word. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think we should explain that to people listening to the podcast is when we say library, we don't mean, you know, like a quaint little building where it's, you know, shh, be quiet. We're not setting up tables next to a card catalog or anything like that. The Des Moines Public Library, the downtown campus, is quite expansive. It's right in the middle of the heart of Des Moines, and it looks like a big copper building, to be honest with you. It's really has some unique architecture, and the space that we're in is the conference, kind of the conference room section of the building, and we have basically a room that we've divided into two parts, one for the panel and one for the show floor, that can accommodate up to almost 600 people. So it's a pretty big area, and we're going to fill it as best we can, and that's why we need a lot of people to come out and check it out. But it's a great opportunity to really kind of showcase the heart of Des Moines. And, you know, Iowa is a I don't know. It's like one of the best kept secrets in the Midwest. A lot of people say, oh yeah, Iowa. I flew over that one time.
That actually, for people who are coming out of the town to the show, what are some of the highlights of the Des Moines area that, you know, if they had family or something that they could take?
Oh man. Where do we start?
Well, the library is in the Western Gateway of downtown, which right there, it sits on a nice park area, which is about a block away from about two square block sculpture garden that has been collecting art for a few years now. Yeah. That came out of a private collector here. With some just incredible pieces, but I know that they constantly are adding pieces. Being November, it might be a little chilly for that one, but it's definitely something to go and explore. Also, not that far away, is the, Des Moines Science Center, or the Iowa Science Center.
Yeah. They have an IMAX theater there and plenty of, exhibits going on throughout the year. It's pretty impressive.
Three floors of exhibits or something like that. It's pretty expansive. And all this stuff is fairly new. I know the library facility is about 8 years old, and I believe the Science Center is also around 6 or 7 years old. So this is all fairly new, pretty advanced technology, really up to date, very stylish, really neat stuff. I think by that time we should be in hockey season. We got our new junior team in here, our semi-pro team starting up. And that is another 6-7 blocks away from the library from the campus.
Yeah. Between the location that we're at and, say the Des Moines Airport, there's Grave Lake, which is a pretty popular destination for locals. People can hang out there. There's also the Blaine Park Zoo, which will still be in operation hours, at that point. We have tons of shopping, both local and various malls throughout the city. I guarantee that if you come to Des Moines, one thing is for sure is that you will eat well. we have so many great restaurants, and a lot of them are located downtown within just a couple of blocks from where the show will be taking place. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do, and we'll list a lot of those things. We'll have provide links on our website, for those that are interested and want to kind of make a full weekend trip out of Assembly Required. So
one thing I got to note about the food is, there's a joint in the East Village called Zombie Burger, and that is a incredible, wonderful burger joint, all decked out, zombified with everything that you can imagine, and it actually features artwork by Ron Ladner.
Yeah, and we have tons of local, comic book shops. We mentioned J.C. Dean Hobby earlier. He has quite a few comics and DVDs and vintage figures. So if you're kind of looking for maybe a hard-to-find part or collectible. I mean, Jay has a huge inventory and a pretty large store. So there's all kinds of things that you could do.
And for a minute, what kind of Joes would this appeal to? What kind of Joe collectors? Are you looking to get just the 3¾-inch? Are you looking to bring in, say the 12-inch? Big G.I. Joe Extreme?
Actually, that's a really good question. One of the things that Brian and I had talked about during kind of the inception of this idea was just the idea of trying to have something that would appeal to pretty much any Joe collector. One of the things that has been heavy for us is not only the 3¾, but in the vintage stuff and the new modern era sculpts and whatnot, but also focusing on things like the art of G.I. Joe, the comic illustrations, the Sunbow cartoons, any kind of licensed merchandise. 12-inch is something that we're trying to get more and more interest from 12-inch collectors and have more presence at the show for them. Customizers, we want to build on that community and make sure that there's a little bit for every niche in G.I. Joe, we want it represented at our show. So we're trying to appeal to all of those groups.
And Joe Customs will be there. So that's awesome. Yay.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you guys in attendance.
We want to make sure that Mike brings some of his 12-inch to display as well. And I know I'm planning on bringing my, my little meager collection of my sideshow figures, which I absolutely love.
Just to clarify, I will be bringing my 12-inch, but they are action figures. Just to avoid the confusion on that.
did I say something wrong?
Oh. No, it's just...
Mike,
just
blushing?
No.
I feel like Mike's blushing.
Did you guys want to talk about some of the stuff you're doing specifically for the kids?
Yeah, we're talking about trying to get the kids to go and visit each table. So we're talking about doing a type of scavenger hunt where they will they'll receive a card when they check in, and we'll go around each table and possibly receive a stamp or some kind of checkbox that they visited. And once they've gone all the way around, they turn it back in, and they will claim their prize.
It's a lot. We're kind of aching it to the days of, you know, like the live the adventure. And that whole idea of when you get an insert in a vehicle, or you get something that goes along with your figure to help kind of augment the experience. And so we didn't want a bunch of people just coming and having kids just sit around and being bored. We wanted them to get excited about the brand. And this is one of the things that we've talked about almost to exhaustion, because we really want kids involved, and we want them to experience it and to figure out a way to draw them in. And we thought of the scavenger hunt, and, you know, they're going to get their mission when they come through the door. And, you know, if they fulfill their mission, there's going to be an ammo drop or a weapons cache ready for them. And that'll have all sorts of goodies. And so we want to highly encourage kids to participate in that.
When Steve had mentioned the idea to me, I mean, we've talked about it, like doing like a sight contest or something like that for a scavenger hunt. And it's always kind of been there, but didn't really know how to pull it off. When you guys mentioned to do it at the show for the kids, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. That's just brilliant. What a better way is there to get them involved?
Yeah. Well, we just thought, you know, like if we were a kid, what would we think would be fun?
Mm-hmm.
You know? A lot of these kids might even get roped into going because of their dad or their mom, you know, so what would be fun? And we thought, man, this would be kind of cool, you know, and we're also going to, you know, we're going to have, some kind of diorama type activity, for kids to kind of color in and make their own, that would incorporate things like, the Microforce figures and, make it a little bit more exciting to play with and be able to take some of that stuff home. So
one of the things we want to do is make sure that the kids engage and ask questions.
Yeah.
Especially some of the younger kids who may not know or understand, or who's got parents or dads who will not let them touch their figures or will go into their secret room.
Yeah.
And so.
But Dad, they're totally.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Why do I only get one and you're buying six?
Yeah. It's an army book or something.
we want to make sure that they can interact. And especially with having things like Ron there and the D-class guys who are, can talk to them a little bit about some different aspects of the Joe world. So it's not just only about the toys, but it's about the story and the art and the, just like the manufacturing. I'm always fascinated when, seeing some of the bucks and some of the pre-production things that the D-class guys, that part of the artistry of it it's like my new favorite part of Joe collecting right now. Is one of those things that I've, or maybe not even Joe collecting, probably just Joe fandom for me.
Yeah, that's something I really, really think everybody would enjoy when they go to Assembly Required, is being able to see the declassified booth. And it's not as big as the National Joe-Con, which means more time to sit and talk with Guy or Viper and take a look at the prototypes. I mean, they put on a great show with a great spread. And it's, like you said, it's just interesting to see the genesis of the different figures, to see the two-ups, some of the concept sketches and such. And also with Ron Wagner, you know, seeing him at a comic show, you kind of have to fight off some fanboys to get a few minutes with him. But here at this show, be able to talk to him. He did a great sketch of Flint for me last year for only $20. It's something, you know, it's a one-on-one that you really get on a show of this scale.
And actually, just to kind of piggyback on some of those things, Ron will probably be putting in a sketch that he'll do that day, for us into the prize collection. So somebody could walk away with the one of a kind, sketch by Ron Wagner, and he'll be there making, drawing up some sketches for people and things like that. But I'd like to kind of take that opportunity too to just, to let people know that we can't be, I don't think we could say thank you enough to Ron, who's been with us from the beginning, and to the guys at Joe Declassified. I mean, honestly, without them, I don't know if Assembly Required would be what it is today, and we owe them a great debt of gratitude, and they really came alongside us and helped out when we needed it. We were very appreciative, and, Gary, Josh, and Sam, and all those guys that have just been Chad, yeah, man. And then, guys that come alongside and help out, our friends Locke and Kobe, and I mean,
we can't forget about Little Bear.
Camp, our buddy Camp. I mean, we just had so many people that have, it's not just the two of us. We've got local guys, Mike's helped us out, and our friend Jonah and David. Just, we have so many people that I think have caught the vision of what we're trying to do. And get excited about it. And to us, it's just a blast to see, because it's infectious. And so we just want to say thanks to those people, and we couldn't have done it without them.
Well, to return it to you guys, I mean, you wouldn't have that support if you weren't running the type of show that you're running, that everyone felt like they got a piece of the action, that there was something really cool going on with that particular show. So thank you to you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, we lucked out. We're just a couple of hacks. So, we're a good friend. It's pretty fun.
I just want to create the posters, and that's the only real reason I'm doing that. Maybe I'll pick up a piece or two, but no, it's a really fun to, bring it out in the public, talk to other people, other collectors, other, just learning about other parts of the G.I. Joe. It's 50 years old. I mean, there's a lot of history out there. And everybody had different experiences. Not me, not being originally from Des Moines, talking to other guys who grew up in Des Moines and listening to them talk about where they would go and hunt for get their Joes from, or where they would, see things at. And even today, building those networks and those friendships and just knowing these guys, last year was both, this year was both Steve and I's first trip to JoeCon.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely blown away by how many people I knew and just how, tight that felt, that network in there. And that was great because if I never met Steve through a trade, who knows? If I would still be as involved in the collecting world as I am now or not.
If Jeff were here, that's exactly where you'd take this conversation, so I'll take the opportunity for him. How did you guys get started in the hobby?
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I picked up a Star Wars figure in 1982, and then I turned over and I saw, look over here. Look at these army men. These look better. They have more articulation. Picked up Flash and Zap, and got a flak the next day. And from that point on, Star Wars was merely background fodder for me. And I just got hooked every year. I mean, those are so ingrained memories of, getting the Mombat and getting the headquarters. And it was something that I loved, the military aspect of it. I loved the fantasy aspect of it. And so, it was awesome to me. I still remember that at Montgomery Ward's, finding those things.
Yeah. I had an older brother who, I'd follow him around, and he had some friends that had G.I. Joes, and I just fell in love with them. And I think my first G.I. Joe that I ever got was Airtight. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's yellow and green. And I'm like, I love him. Love him to death. And it just got me hooked. And I played with a lot of toys growing up as a kid, but G.I. Joe was like the tried and true toy of choice, and I didn't leave him home. I think I took him to church just about every time, and plenty of bathtub and outside. And I just loved G.I. Joe. And then, I think I was in a Target for some reason, and I think I was actually looking for a birthday present for my nephew, and I found 25th anniversary Destro. I remember just going, no way, out loud. And then looking around to see if anybody was looking at me, you know, weird guy in a toy aisle. And I just fell in love with it. It looked just like, you know, the packaging was so similar to what I had as a kid. I mean, I just got hooked. And then, of course, you know, with eBay and just forums and things like that, as it's progressed, it's just realizing, wow, there's so many other people that share that, you know, a similar story. And it's been cool to see that passion as a kid kind of come back as an adult, and then being able to share that with other people. It's been pretty fun. So,
right. Going back to the show, say somebody has an extensive collection that, you know, they want to come out and sell a few pieces. Is there still dealer tables available? And perhaps somebody has a business, they could sponsor, you know, a portion of the show?
Are you trying to give us to do shameless plugs on needing money for our show? Yeah, we're looking for, you know, at least eight tables we have left to fill.
Yeah.
You know, be that people who just want to exhibit their collection or people who actually want to sell. I do not recall what the prices are on that. We'll have the,
it should be all on the website. All that information will be on the website, and you can check out that information.
What's the website again?
It is codenameiowa.com.
And basically, the reason why we're seeking out sponsors, and we're, you know, we charge for vending tables, you know, vendors' tables and whatnot, is because our event is 100% free. We want to encourage people to come, for families to make it available for them to come, and to join us, being part of what we're doing. And so we decided early on, as long as we can, we want to make the event free. And so in doing so, you have some costs. And it's just the two of us. And so to help kind of even those things out, we're looking for sponsorship, and we're charging for tables. And we want just people to be a part of it. So,
well, and also we're selling some merch.
Yeah.
My whole, I'm a graphic designer. I work in advertising. That whole thing stems from G.I. Joe and Star Wars as a kid, and comic books and drawing. And so, again, one thing Steve said to me is, hey, have you seen these Marvel minimalistic posters?
Yeah.
They were really cool, man. And then I'm like, yeah. He's like, you think we can do something like that for Joe? I said, I don't know. When I find some time, I'll sit down and do it. And I think in a matter of a weekend, I ended up designing 50 Cobra posters. And we just kind of, I started playing with those a little bit more. And so we've kind of grown that into a series of posters that we're releasing by year. So they're poster packs. They're giant. They're like 11 by, well, a little bigger than 11 inches by 17 inches. They're actually scaled proportionately to the original cards. But we're selling these packs by year, and these are one of those things that we're doing to help fund the AR and what Codename Iowa is doing. So, and t-shirts and things like that, buttons and stuff. So any of that stuff you guys purchase, that strictly is meant to go to helping keep the show going and keep it free. So we don't want to, you know, we love it if we never have to ever charge admission for any fan to come and check it out, because this is our hobby too. And I think we'd rather see people spend money to support the hobby than to help Steve and I put on this show to, you know, appease our inner child.
Hey, yeah. A quick question for you guys.
Yeah.
In regards to the posters, have you considered putting the poster packs out on, like, on your website, where people, like myself, you know, that time of year is impossible for me to get away from work, but, you know, poster packs would be some way that I can, you know, say, contribute toward the convention and help you guys out, but yet in the same instance, I can get some awesome posters for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, just to kind of fill you in on where we're at right now, we're just now starting to, on our Facebook page, which is just look us up at Codename Iowa on Facebook, you'll see that we're doing preview pictures of this, between 1985, the 85 minimalist set. And then also we'll have contact information that will link you directly to a store where you can purchase those. You can also purchase buttons, the minimalist set buttons that we've produced, which is 82, 83, 84, and at the time of the show, we're releasing 1985. So we'll have four years worth of stuff there. The button packs will be there. The limited edition screen printed posters for each of the shows that we do, which, you know, Ryan won't say this, but I'll say it. Last year's poster was incredible. He did just an amazing job where we're basically looking at the Whirlwind and Snake Armor, and they're still on their plastic trees. And check them out, man, because they are a thing of beauty. And we have screen-printed versions of those in the store as well, in addition to some other limited edition merchandise kind of thing. And all of that stuff just goes right back into funding the project. So, yeah, I appreciate you asking about that.
Actually, we'll go ahead and tell you, it's goodsmiths.com mm-hmm. Is the online store we use. And if you just go to goodsmiths.com, and type in, codename ILO or assembly required, or even just G.I. Joe, it should take you immediately to our store and, you should be able to find all those, items we talked about. Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know if you love, maybe we could, add a link or something in the thread.
Yep.
That would take people there if that's cool.
Yep, I can add that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The artwork, the promotional materials, it's top notch. If you haven't seen Brian's work, it's just fantastic, and it really sets it apart
from the
other shows.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
I'm not going to talk about how good it is, but I'll just tell you that I try to stay true to what Joe is. And what G.I. Joe was in my favorite period, which was the 80s.
Yeah.
And a lot of the materials I try to create is reflective of either that specific year or something that, you know, you would have, you know, you look at it and you're instantly taken back.
Fantastic. I highly encourage, if you're able, if you're close, to make it into Des Moines. Des Moines, it's really easy to get to. It's an intersection of two major interstates. It's really easy to get to the library. As they said, yeah, you got to go to Zombie Burger if you're ever in town. It's an experience that everybody, you know, enjoy the fried pickles and a walking ched. You can't beat it.
Yeah, the walking ched. It's good.
Oh, yeah. And then we're going to put, we've actually worked it out with a hotel down the street to, offer rooms at a discounted rate.
Yep.
I think we've got to confirm that we've got, a handful, 5-6 people coming in from out of state already.
Okay.
So we've got one guy. We think he took a bus last year from Alabama. And we're thinking he's going to take a train this year.
Every year it's a different mode of transportation. So.
Which is a lot of, you know, which is fun. You know, it's great to have, to see these people come, have you guys up here and entertain and, I don't know. For me, it gives my wife a break from me and bringing sneaking girls in the house and trying to engage her in a conversation she has no interest in.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for you guys to kind of come and nerd out with other people that will know what you're talking about. Which you don't necessarily get if you're, in a small town or something like that. So
we'll have all the information, all the travel or, hotels, things to check out while you're here, places for the family to go if they are, you know, if you got a wife who's not so interested in,
there'll be plenty to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also links to our sponsors, you know, and people that have been helping us out along the way. And, all that information will be made available on the website, and check us out. Give us some likes on Facebook or we're on Twitter as well. It's at Codename Iowa. And we periodically will update that with just random things that we're finding. And come this time of year, we're always updating it with previews of the show, whether that's the minimalist stuff, the merchandise that we're putting out, or perhaps it's some shots from the Joe Declassified guys that they want to share, or other exhibitors, and also some of the prizes. I am telling you, this would, if you are on the fence, this would be a good year to come to assembly required. I got a feeling people are going to walk away pretty happy.
I can't tell you what the grand prize is, but I can tell you that the grand prize is something that I am extremely jealous of and wish I would have for my own private collection.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed that this is actually something we did that was donated to us to give as the grand prize. And it's just, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, I can tell you it's not a flag in the box.
Yeah.
So it's smaller than a flag in the box.
It's smaller than a flag in a box, but.
Step one? Was it step one?
Yeah.
Put a flag?
Yeah.
Cut a hole in the box?
Yeah.
Step two? Put the flag in the box?
Oh, wow. I'm like, what's step three?
Oh, wow.
Dan, did you have any questions?
No, everything was covered pretty well there. Sounds like it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. And there's just going to be a lot. Yeah, this is, there's going to be surprises. There's going to be things that we don't even know that, you know, people keep surprising us with. Little things that keep coming up that they say they'll bring or they're going to provide us with or whatever. And for those people who are worried about downtown Des Moines, parking is free on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And Sundays.
And the hotel will have a shuttle that goes to and from the airport. And will actually, shuttle you around within 5 miles of the hotel, which the location does fit into. So, I mean, you shouldn't have a problem getting around or anything. It's just a great, great locale. So.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming on. This will probably air a lot closer to the date of the show. I'll try to get out there 1st of November-ish. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you guys.
Hey, it's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, definitely. You better, Jim Dar.
I'm always around.
Yeah, I see you picked over aisles at Toys R Us every day.
Yeah, I wish I could score a couple more Creos, though.
You beautiful bearded man, you. We'll find them. We'll find them for you, Mike. You just say the word. We're your minion.
All right, well, go forth and secure.
All right.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
You too. Bye.
You too. So long. There should be more free conventions like that. I think all conventions should be free. We shouldn't have to pay for them.
It is. It's something to see. It's. I think this is going to be the future of the hobby as Hasbro is doing who knows what with G.I. Joe. It's going to be more of these grassroots type conventions that's going to carry the name on in the future, I think.
I think what it'll do for the kids, though, that kind of sends it over top. I mean, the kids are the ones you really want to get to because they're going to be our legacy, you know, to continue G.I. Joe going. You know, the idea of the scavenger hunt is pretty awesome. And I kind of want to see the outcome of that.
I do have one quick story from last year's show. I was set up as a dealer and I had some vintage vehicles and there was a father came in with his two boys, probably about 5 and 7 years old. The littlest boy, first thing he did, he set his eyes on the Crusader I had for sale and just fell in love with it. And eventually he took it home and I just felt really good to be able to, you know, get one of those really awesome classic vehicles in the hands of a kid who could enjoy it. It was just one of those things you could tell that that's what he wanted and he had his heart set on it. And it made my show.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that big prize they were talking about, a mitten box whale.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, wow. As a giveaway. I was like, oh, my goodness. I can't even talk about it now.
Yeah, I was going to say, the flag box is about the size of my first apartment when we got married.
If you buy some tickets, you're going to get a couple of items, and they're really nice.
We're going to do a quick reset. When we come back, we'll be talking with Kevin, a.k.a. Oreo Builder.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Kevin, you still there?
Yep, still there.
And our special guest is Oreo Builder, a.k.a. Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm aboard. Thank you. How are you going? How are you all doing?
Quite well.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good as always.
We're not finding retaliation, but everything else is going good.
You should check the Walgreens. Wave 3.5 is hitting really hard. My whole area's got tons of them.
Really? I guess I'm going to have to be making a trip there tomorrow.
I've gone to 3 Walgreens. I found Jack Doodly Poo Poo.
Yeah, so far I've seen 4 or 5 Storm Shadows and Snake Eyes, 2 Data Vipers, one of which I picked up, Cobra Combat Ninja, Cobra Commander, Flint, a couple others. No Quinn, surprisingly, and no Duke. But I've seen pretty much everybody else.
At least you're hidden.
I did get my Blind Master. I got him from Hasbro Toy Shop. He showed up today. So as soon as this podcast is over with, I'm ripping him open. And I'm sure Kevin's like, you know, screw all of you guys. I live in Canada. I don't get any of this crap.
Yeah, there's no hope for us up here. We're stuck at wave 2. And that's all we're going to have for a while, I think.
That's why you have friends on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. That's why the internet has been invented. Thank goodness for the internet.
It's not just for porn.
Oh. Wow.
I think you might need to edit that one.
Yeah, I might have to edit that. If you've never seen Oreo Builders custom work, well, you're dead. I can't help you there, because the guy's a genius. He does factory production level customizing. He's got a great eye for parts. He's just superb, and he tackles huge projects. Battlecore, yep, he's done it. An unproduced G.I. Joe train that, you know, got an impel card, but that's it. Yep, he tackled that. Did a whole convention set with exclusives. Yep, he did that. He's one of my favorite customizers, so I'm really glad we're able to have you on tonight.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here, actually. It's a lot of fun. I listen to you guys once in a while, and it's always a lot of fun to listen to you guys.
So when you take on those big projects, like, do they start as big projects, or do they just turn into them?
It depends. It depends on the project, I think. It's Battle for a Month actually started out quite small. It was a case of me just trying to explore new avenues that, you know, people don't tend to look into when they're customizing. So the 92 to 95 years are not something that you see many customs of. I was looking through my reference books and through Yojo and everything else, and trying to figure out, you know, what are my next customs going to be. And the Battlecore figures, surprisingly, there's quite a few that are actually very interesting. It's not an era that I knew growing up. I had already grown out of Joe's at that point, so everything that I knew about Battlecore is basically everything that I learned from Yojo. It was, just to begin the project, it was a lot of fun just to go through the archives and all of the reference images and all the information that they have on that website, and also through the visual encyclopedias, the book. I forget the author's name, but the reference book, the price guide.
Mark Bellamy?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, all that stuff is super, super good information. And so anyway, I was leafing through the book at one point and noticed some figures that were really actually kind of cool. Example is Wild Bill. He's pretty interesting visually. I mean, he's dressed up in his cavalry uniform, and he has the twin shooters and everything. So it's the period is actually, it's not well liked, but it's actually quite full of interesting characters. Some of them, like Leatherneck, is a little bit garish, but still quite visually interesting for the colors and everything. And Beachhead is absolutely a fantastic. I mean, he could fit into the DEF subset without any trouble, without any changes, actually. So to get back to your question, it started out as a small project. I spotted maybe a half dozen figures that were interesting that I felt like taking on and trying my hand at. And as I got deeper and deeper and assembled a few of them, the project sort of took on a life of its own. It went from being, oh, well, you know, here's 3 guys that I'd like to do, and then here's 6, and then, oh, well, maybe I can do a week's worth of customs, and then it became 10, and by the time it became 16 and 18 and 20, then I said, well, okay, well, might as well turn it into a month's long reveal. I have, it felt like I was going to cheat if I dumped everything into one post and just said, well, here you go, here's 20 new guys and good night, you know? So Battle Corps Month was really a case of something that started small and snowballed. The other things like the train, I think it's pretty much, go big or go home. The train was something that lasted 5 years. It took me to accumulate everything. And then, I don't know, what other projects? The convention set was actually for, a group project on Joe Customs. And, I think it wasn't it the 50th group project that we did?
I think it might have been actually for the convention set one.
Was it? Okay. Was it for the convention set? Oh, okay. I thought it was the Second Chances one. But the, but at any rate, I knew that was one that I'd wanted to do something similar, something in the convention set style for a little while. And then when the group project came up, the opportunity just presented itself, so it was too good to pass up.
And you were right, going back, it was the 50th group project where you did the Operation Honey Badger.
All right.
I should have taken your word for it, since you're the one who did it. I'd say for the train, go big or go home, you hit a home run, threw a touchdown, kicked a goal, won a gold medal with that one. I think you knocked it out of the park.
Thanks. It was the realization... And this is going to sound weird a little bit maybe, but it was the realization of a childhood dream. When I was a kid, I grew up and I always loved trains. And I used to see the commercials for the old G.I. Joe Tyco train. I always loved it, but I already had a train set. And I had Little Green Army Man, Little Gray Army Man, and I used to play around with that stuff and make my own stories. And the green guys would have to defend the train against the gray guys and everything else. I'd play for hours and set up everything in the big mass. So when I started back up, when I rediscovered G.I. Joe as an adult, and I discovered Yojo, and then the images of the prototype train, I mean, I knew that for sure that was something that, down the line, I was hoping Hasbro would do it, but obviously, I mean, it's not something that fits into their marketing vision at this point, I guess. So when I found train car, Playmobil train car on sale, I picked it up just for the fun of it and converted it to G.I. Joe, painted it in G.I. Joe colors. And then it was, okay, now I need to collect all of the other train cars and the locomotive and everything. And the way Playmobil puts out their product, it lasts long on shelves, but when it goes away for a while. It took me a while to collect all the train cars and all the parts that I wanted to make the train. So it really did take about 5 years, I think, to collect everything together. But at the end, I'm super happy with it. I think it's going to be probably the centerpiece of my collection, at least for a while anyway.
I'm just curious, because, like, I know you displayed the train, and then, like, within 2 days, you had the engineer and the mechanic with it. How long did it take you to do the figures to go along with it?
The figures were actually quite quick. They were done up pretty much at the same time as the train, but I don't think I posted them at the same time. I think I just really wanted to shoot or show the train off at first, and then I added the characters, but they weren't very long. If you take a look at them, they actually don't have very much paint. They're really only kitbashes or LBCs, like we say, existing parts in those colors.
They were just such perfect additions, you know. They were simple, but just really well done. Again, just a great eye for parts, you know, using the Red Star ripcord head for the engineer, you know.
Yeah, that train set was amazing. That's going to be like your legacy piece. You know, years from now, when the people don't think about Joe very much anymore, they're still going to remember that train.
Thanks. The train, actually, when I finished it, I received the locomotive through the mail because I pre-ordered it on Playmobil's website. And I received it, and within a week, it was painted. And that was the last piece that I was missing to finish the train. I had a day off. And so I had the house to myself that Friday that I posted it. And it basically took me all day to set up just the track in the living room with the backdrop and try to take some pictures that are semi-clear despite the lighting and everything. At the end of the day, when I posted the train, it had been such a long time since I started the project, and I wanted it to be finished because I was looking forward to having, you know, to getting the result and everything. That when I was posting the pictures, I was shaking a little bit. And I mean, that sounds a little bit weird, but it's the anticipation of, hey, this thing is finished now and I can show it off. You know, I'm so proud of it that I can show it off. It really was a fun day.
One of the figures that you did that I really loved was the custom challenge that for the custom celebration, and you did a barbecue with just a firefighter in his helmet and his rain suits. And I saw that and I was just like, oh wow. I mean, you pulled parts from like three or four different figures, but I mean, you nailed a firefighter's, you know, typical gear and stuff.
Yeah, that's a figure that I had in mind for a little while before Joe Michaels came up with the project. And again, it's a situation where often I think of these things, but when somebody sort of gives me an excuse to sit down and actually do it, then it comes together. But that's definitely a theme that's actually very fun, and I think I want to revisit that down the line. I've actually started collecting a couple more Arctic Snake Eyes and Pursuit of Cobra snow jobs to put together some more firefighters. I'd like to have a little team at one point.
That'd be really cool. Brad, did you have any questions?
I enjoy your training just as much as these guys do, but really the discipline that you put into the battle corps, it just blew my mind. I mean, you took a lot of characters that, you know, other customizers have gone back and repainted because they appreciated the sculpts, and you actually made them look like, you know, viable characters that, you know, I would actually buy in the stores.
Thanks. Battle Corps is actually, like I said, it's something that not many collectors enjoy, or I shouldn't say that. I think a lot of people actually grew up with it, and it's their G.I. Joe. I'm a little bit older. I'm, you know, my G.I. Joe is 82 to 86. I think a lot of us are in the same boat. But yeah, no, when I did Battle Corps, it really was a case of, well, you know, I want to pay homage to these figures and as much as possible. So that included the fluorescent colors and the yellows and the oranges and everything that that character that era was known for, including some of them have their spring-loaded launchers and everything else, all those features that marked that era. I think it's a unique shelf now in my collection room. It's certainly the most colorful one, but I think it was the way that I wanted to approach it was really not to shy away from it, not to, you know, not everything can be green and brown. The toys can be fun too, you know, toys can be colorful. And so that was really my approach.
Michael, did you have any questions?
Yeah, I just want to go back to the train. I just remember when I got that card set, it was the 30th anniversary G.I. Joe card set, so it shows you how long this thing had been kicked around. Just to have somebody actually take that one card and turn it into an entire train is just phenomenal. Like was said before, this will probably be, when you mentioned Oreo Builder, this will be the thing that pops into people's heads. But taking it aside, since Joe Michaels isn't here, I'll ask the question. So what was the first thing that got you into G.I. Joe? And then what was the first thing that got you collecting and customizing G.I. Joes?
Well, obviously I was a huge fan when I was a kid. I think my first figure was Short Fuse. And then shortly thereafter, you know, Grunt and Flash and all those 82, 83 guys. So I played with my Joes quite a bit when I was a kid, and they made quite a few trips to the sandbox and, you know, setting up huge dioramas in the bedroom with bed sheets and making mountains and forts and everything. And they were always my heroes when I was growing up, you know, when I was making all these battles. Like many of us, we, you know, I outgrew them when I was a teenager. But what brought me back to collecting was actually Valor versus Venom. As crazy as that sounds, there was an exclusive called Operation Crimson Sabotage, which was the Red Hiss and the Red Axe and three Crimson Guards. And when I was a kid, Crimson Guard was one of my favorites. So when they put out that set, all of a sudden it's my visions, my childhood visions of having an army of Crimson Guardsmen could come true, you know? So I picked up, I don't know how many of that set, and then Hasbro put out the Crimson Guard 6-pack, and then the Arctic 6-pack, and the Desert 6-pack, and everything else, so I was hooked. So that must have been 2004, 2005, roughly. And customizing came about because, I guess for a couple of different reasons. Hasbro doesn't always put out the figures that we want or exactly the way we want them. When I started collecting again, I really wanted to get certain figures in certain colors and stuff like that. And I think back on the comic book 3-packs at the time, and they were nice figures. They were the old figures with new head sculpts and new accessories, and they were pretty decent packs, but they did them in the comic book style, so the colors were a little bit bright. And at that time, I was looking for something a little bit more realistic military. So I started painting those comic figures to tone down the colors and everything else. And that's really how I started. But I quickly discovered that, you know, certain things are easy in customizing and others not quite so much. When I discovered Joe Customs, that's really when it launched, when it started. Because then that's when I started seeing all these wonderful figures and vehicles that people were doing. And before that, I mean, I started just dabbling a little bit of, you know, dabbing a little bit of paint on my figures, but not really to the level of people, you know, talented customizers who have been doing it for years and years. So seeing the work online, was really, really inspired. And then with the 25th anniversary stuff coming out, that was sort of the blank slate that was, I guess, that I needed. Instead of trying to learn an old parts bank that had been around for 25 years, I could start fresh and learn the parts as they were releasing them. So I was picking up the collection as it was going, and at the same time starting some brand new customs. So basically everything that I had done before the 25th was, I guess practice. I don't know if that sounds right, but it was really just leading up to, you know, the process of learning and everything else.
Do you ever find yourself in a position when you see a new figure on the peg or on the shelf or whatever, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, would that be good for my collection, or what could I do as a customizer with that?
Actually, I don't know who on the forum said this, but it's basically everything's fodder. Most of the time, some figures stay as is in the collection, and I try to keep one of everything, but for the most part, they end up as arms and legs and heads and torsos. In various buckets.
Okay, I was just going to have a Jeff moment. You know, since your screen name is Oreo Builder, yeah, tell me, are you a twister or are you a dunker?
I think he's talking about cookies.
We hope. I'm a twister.
Okay, cool.
All right, any other questions specific for Oreo Builder before we move on to the segments?
No, it's been great. I'm just glad to hear your thought processes.
Well, he's going to still stick around because the next question I want to ask him is, all right, now that we've talked about enough about stuff you've already done, what are you working on now? The customizing workbench.
Right now I'm actually working on several things at the same time. I'm working on the next group project on Joe Customs that's coming up.
Rogue States, the deadline is October 13th.
Rogue States, yeah, that I'll have a few figures and a vehicle to submit pretty soon. I have a couple of ongoing commissions that I'm doing that I need to actually get back to.
I'm sorry, do you?
No, not right now. I mean, soon, tomorrow maybe.
But no, do you actively pursue commissions, or are you very, very hands off? Like you're very specific about what you take on. If you mention that you take commissions, people will contact you, and I just want to let them know ahead of time. Do they have a chance?
I've had quite a few people after the train and Battlecore month. Those two projects were so close together in June and July. A lot of people actually approached me for commission work, and I do take on commission work once in a while. I'm actually quite selective about what I do, only because I only have a certain amount of minutes in a week, and the time that I take on commissions, or the time that I do commission, comes out of the time that I can do customs for myself. So I try to balance all that out. So I try not to take on too much and keep people waiting too long. So I most of the time I'll turn people back, or I'll tell them, you know, contact me again in a few months or a little while, or And when I do take something on, it's with the caveat that it'll be done well, but it can't be in too much of a rush. It might take a month or two, you know, just because there's other stuff going on. And what else am I working on? I'm working on a joint project with a fellow customizer from Joe Customs. I won't say who for now, just because he doesn't know that I'm on here now. But we'll be revealing our work together during the next custom celebration. So I have that project in the pipeline. And then I'm actually working on a pretty big project that will be revealed in January. I don't want to talk too much about it. I want to keep it a surprise, but it's going to be another month-long event.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Very cool. Month-long event. Is it going to be fun school repaints?
I'm sorry?
Is it going to be fun school repaints?
No. It's going to be, no, I can't tell you.
Nice.
But it's actually a little bit more ambitious than Battlecore. It's going to be, last count, it was about 42 figures, but I might add a couple to that count. I'm not sure yet. The final count's not been nailed down, but I can say that at least half of them are already finished.
Did you say 42?
Yeah, 42.
That's crazy.
And there will be at least six. I'll say six vehicles, but it might be a couple more. Wow. So, yeah, all that stuff is progressing. I'm getting a little bit done every day, you know, a few minutes at a time. And it keeps keeping me busy and out of trouble.
All right. Well, your challenge for, since it sounds like you got 2014 pretty well locked up, for 2015, I want to see Joe versus Cobra, all those kind of characters done in 25th style.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
just throwing that out in the ring.
All right. That sounds good.
Well, Brad, what about you? What are you working on?
Not a whole lot. Still wrapping up some of my Movieverse figures. I have one that I'm pretty proud of. I had taken work in progress pictures of. It's updated the Baroness. It's actually a conglomeration of different styles of figures putting together into one. I took the pictures. I did my iPhone update and it erased the pictures. So all the work in progress I was going to use kind of as a tutorial went down the tube, but hopefully I'll get that figure posted here pretty soon.
Dan, what about you? What are you working on?
Well, as you know, I sent you some photos a little earlier today. I've been working on my Iron Throne of War, which is a throne completely covered in weapons of war, swords, axes, shields, things of that nature. I finally put the finishing touches on the build this afternoon.
Wait, how many weapons are on your Game of Thrones weapons throw?
I lost counts, but I'm assuming it's somewhere around the vicinity of about 250 pieces.
Wow.
And I still have about 50 more swords and other accessories that are in my drawer.
Wow.
I have massive, massive fodder banks.
Yes.
But I just put the finishing touches on the build just a short while before we got on to record. And I'm waiting for the sealant to dry. I had to use some of that tester's clear part cement and window maker to seal a couple little gaps. So that'll dry overnight. Hopefully I'll be ready to start painting it tomorrow. And I also did a rather large project. Didn't involve any painting, though, but it was a hell of a lot of fun to do. I built 14 custom Astromech droids down at the Disney theme park droid factory. I was actually able to go down to Florida. I was on vacation recently. And they have exclusive figures that are just for the park that are various Astromech droids from, you know, R2 through R9 series. And the R6, 8s, and 9s are exclusive to the park because they don't exist in the regular Hasbro line. So I got every single color variation of those three types of droids, and I got a pair of R7s and a pair of R5s in a rather striking color schemes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, since it was Disney, did you have to take out a second mortgage to afford all of them?
Actually, believe it or not, they were cheaper than going to Toys R Us.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy them. You buy them either singly or in doubles. And the singles were a little expensive. They were $12.95. But the double pack was $19.95. It was like going to Toys R Us and buying two regular figures. So I was able to get all the ones I wanted, plus a three-pack of figures from the ride, Star Tours, for about $186.
Oh.
Hi, Brad.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, I lost you guys for a minute.
Yeah, are you going to be throwing those off online?
I did a review of the process of building them at the kiosk, and it is on www.imperialshipyards.net, and it's the Star Tours Droid Factory review is the title of the thread. It's in the convention thread.
I already got the link. It'll go up with the show too, Dan.
Yeah, I took pictures of all the individual droids. I got pictures of the kiosk, and I think there's even one or two pictures of me building droids in there that my wife took.
Those are on your Facebook, but not there. But I was going to ask you if I could put that in the thread when this show goes up.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
And say thanks to your wife. She took some good pictures.
Oh, yeah, she took some great pictures while I was building the droids.
Vector, did you guys already go over that build a droid from Florida?
Yes, yeah, I spoke about it at length.
All right, then I won't bring it up again.
People can now edit it.
Yeah, I'll put it back there.
All right, so I saw your photos on Facebook of you standing in front of that thing, looking like you were standing in front of, you know, like a Las Vegas buffet. Is that how it felt? Because that's what I felt.
My wife actually told, she said it's so funny, when we got there, we got to downtown Disney where the kiosk was, just as the doors opened. And I was the first person in there. And she said that basically I all but ran to the kiosk. And then just started putting pieces together like mad. So yeah, it was definitely very exciting, very exhilarating. Digging through, finding the ones that are truly exclusive, the R6, the R8s, and the R9s. Finding all the parts for them and putting them together, and then, you know, making sure I got all the color combinations. And it was so much fun that it was probably the highlight of that first day of my vacation. Was hitting the downtown Disney and making the droids.
Was that at the toy store downtown Disney?
Yeah, Wish Upon a Toy. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've already told you multiple times. I'm so jealous. I so want to do that so bad.
It's definitely worth it. I'm really hoping that Disney will put these kiosks into the Disney stores that are all over the country, because that'll make it so much easier for people to get these figures without having to travel across country.
Well, I know the Lego store does. You know, they have the little kiosks for putting little minifigures together. So, yeah, I would love for Disney store to do that.
Give me a price tag. It doesn't have to go on the podcast, but give me a price tag for what just happened there.
Everything I bought, all 14 of the droids plus the 3-pack, it cost me about $186. That's not too bad, though, man. That's
actually not too bad at all.
That's great.
Yeah, Dan, do you remember how much Entertainment Earth was charging for, like, their 5-pack of droids?
If I remember correctly, because I did buy those way back in the day, the 2-packs that made up the collection cost me somewhere in the vicinity of about $95.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So put that in perspective. A limited release set cost almost as much as something at Disney.
What Muppets are currently available as Star Wars figures?
Oh, my God. I honestly wish I had paid more attention to them, because I don't collect that line, so I didn't even think about it. But I know I saw there was a 2-pack of Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker as R2 and 3PO.
Oh.
That's the one thing that stuck in my head, because I always liked those characters. But I don't remember who the rest were, and I'm really sorry. I just didn't pay attention to them.
That's cool. My sister's going down there for some kind of charity run, and I'm going to get her to pick up the 2-packs for my son when he gets for Christmas.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote, his son.
No, really, truly.
That is fascinating.
They had a bunch of the Disney ones, too, where the Disney characters were done up as Star Wars guys.
Yeah.
And there was one set I thought was cool. It was Huey, Dewey, and Louie as Jawas. Yeah. And they had busted R5-D4 parts with them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that was a cool little set. It looks like the R5-D4 parts were modified from a mold of one of the Build-A-Droid figures. But, I mean, it's something I could have done at home easily, too. It's basically the head with some wires hanging out the bottom, and one of the legs with some wires sticking out at the connection point. But I thought it was a cool concept, and I kind of filed that away in the back of my head. It's like, okay, I could do that with a bunch of the extra droid parts I have.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Michael, what about you? What are you working on? Anything?
Oh, yeah, I got, for the 3¾-inch, I'm trying to get my Broken Star Liberation Front Army built, and for those of you who don't remember, it comes from 155.5 G.I. Joe comic from IDW. It was that kind of Liberation Army that was fronted by Cobra for just set up to fail so Cobra could go in and take over security. I'm trying to do that. I got the leader. He's about 3/4 finished, but he's been 3/4 finished since before the convention. So I just haven't really had a chance to hop in and work on him. And there's a couple of 12-inch projects I'm working on. I'm trying to make a couple more Bullet Man figures, and that entails making casts of the arms and of the heads, and I hope to have those done, I don't know, within the next year, I guess. just with a lot of stuff going on, it's just I'm not able to put as much time into them as I would like, but they're always in the back of my mind, and I want to hopefully set aside some time after some shows coming up and get back into doing the customizing full time.
Let's see. I'm doing G.I. Joe discussion group on Facebook is doing a little Halloween contest, anything related to Joe, diorama, customs, whatever. So, I'm doing a scene, a diorama kind of deal with a few custom figures, but they're very low on the customizing. I'll tell you that, but they're fun and you'll see it in Halloween. We're not supposed to show it or talk about it until then, but I'm working on something. There you go. Yay. And then, the Fighting 118th, they're putting on a show in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania next weekend. And, Dermo is doing a kumite. I'm doing like it's all Dungeons and Dragons kind of theme, you know, sword and sorcery. So I took an entry. It was dressed as a baseball catcher, and I'm trying to turn that into a Dungeons and Dragons type character. So the only cool thing is that I don't know if you guys have seen it. WWE has those. They're smaller than the normal figures. They're only like 2 inches tall. And they're really, you know, the limited articulation, but the heads are Joe scaled. So I bought one of those on clearance and gave him one of those heads. So it just so you know, they're out there. He's got a base coat of paint. I just need to put some finishing touches on it. Brad, did we get to you? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Before I dropped off. Yeah. Jeff's not here, so Scott hates me tonight.
It's your turn.
Man, it picks one of us every week.
Yeah.
Fodderbox, did anybody get anything new in just for customizing?
I picked up a Data Viper because I want to split his armor and equipment among a couple different projects, but that's about it.
What do you think of that figure?
The Data Viper is actually pretty cool. The weird thing is that the armor doesn't really like peg into his back or anything. It just kind of sits there. So I can see if somebody was playing with them that, you know, if you move the figure, his armor's going to fall off in position or whatever.
Jared Weber had nailed that in the review that the armor was cool. Like, it's really well detailed. The figure is neat, but the armor just doesn't want to stay where it's supposed to stay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downside. It should have had a peg or something that clipped onto the figure a little better. And his head has a hard time fitting inside that giant helmet. It's like it doesn't want to go all the way down to the bottom of the head when you put the helmet on. And yeah. When you take the helmet off, the head comes off with
it. It just all kind of rests on there with gravity, you know?
Yeah, kind of. But I bought him to use him for a bunch of different projects, so it wasn't a figure for my collection. So that's the only fodder box that I got recently.
Now, like I said, those WWE figures that you can see on clearance, they're the really small ones, 2 to a pack or something.
I think they're called Rumblers.
Rumblers, that's right.
Yeah, I saw them at Kmart.
Well, we lost Brad again.
He'll be back. He can't stay away from us. You guys see the new Thor figures we're getting?
That's the other thing I got. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot. I picked up Loki and Curse.
I want Dark Elves, but you want her case, and of course, you know, the scalpers beat me to it.
Yeah. Curse, I have no idea who the character is. I have no idea. You know, I didn't even like him as a character, but he's such a cool sculpt. I was like, I will find a purpose for him somewhere along the way.
Well, he's vastly different than the comic version. The comic version of Curse was like a handed suit of armor that was brought to life, whereas this is more like a rocker.
You're an enchanted suit of armor.
What? Jeff, what are you doing? Hello? And he's gone. Just like that.
He came anyway.
That's what she said.
I was looking forward to being able to say, hi, Joe Michael. Next time, maybe.
He'll put that up front.
No, he's watching his kids, so he's been on in the background just listening. He's a voyeur, or what is it when you only listen? An audio voyeur. I don't know, something like that. He hates me again. Brad just texted.
You guys playing cards? Hi, Oreo Builder.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I wasn't supposed to be on tonight's show, so that's why I'm not on tonight's show. I'm kind of on tonight's show. Hey, look at that. Joe Zarr's back on.
I've been on.
Yeah, he's been on.
Hey, we lost Brad.
Brad keeps getting dropped.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jeff, what's happening?
You honestly don't want to know, but I'll fill you in November.
All right, sounds good.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry. I kind of forgot where we were.
Fodderbox.
Fodderbox.
Oh, yeah, pretend I'm not here.
contributes back to enchanted suit of armor.
Well, I was saying, in the comics, Curse was an enchanted suit of armor that was brought to life to attack Asgard. But the film version, it appears he's either like a reptile or stone. It's hard to tell by the design of the figure. We'll have to wait and see the movie. But it's definitely like a living thing instead of a, a suit of metal.
Yeah, it's more like an enchanted person kind of, or creature they turn him into.
Yeah. But it's definitely a wicked looking figure. I really like it.
Yeah. My wife was like, oh, are you disappointed? Are you having buyer's remorse? I'm like, no, I just don't know what the hell to do with them.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick them with my Frost Giants for the moment.
What about you, Kevin? Have you gotten in anything specifically for customizing?
I think the better question is, what haven't I gotten? what have I picked up? I've been receiving my 3.5 and my Wave 4 boxes from Torsai, and then got a couple of, is it the Avengers Assemble line? Something like that?
Yep.
There's Black Widow, and there's also Red Skull that just came out. It just showed up here locally. So probably we're probably a little bit behind you guys, but up here. But those figures
actually just hit in my area. Like they had the 5-point articulation ones, but the articulated ones, like the Red Skull and the Black Widow, those actually just hit the shelves around here.
Okay. Now I know you're a Canadian and all, but did you say Loki Lee?
Oh,
is that Jeff?
Yeah.
Hi, Brad.
Glad to have you on board.
One of the cool things, before we go into, the outstanding customs and stuff, was that Adrien Dufour had pointed out some obscure ninja movie called The Five Elements Ninjas that apparently Hasbro used as inspiration for their unproduced ninja set they were going to do. There's the green animal ninja, the gold ninja that uses the Blind Master's hat, and the Blind Master figure from Wave 4 uses his hat. The red ninjas, of course, are already part of G.I. Joe lore, but the blue water ninjas, and the file cards kind of match up with that. Did you guys see that in his customizing thread?
That was pretty interesting, yeah. I had never heard of that film before. I'm not a big martial arts fan, but it definitely looks like, Hasbro, somebody there was a fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I knew the Blind Master's weapons, RZA specifically requested those from actual movies, so I kind of got that. But I had no idea that there was a film inspiration for the rest of the ninja figures.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10! Woo!
Adrien Dufour made some of the diver figures from the Sunbow cartoon, the Cobra divers from the Mass Device episodes, and of course the G.I. Joe divers, and those were pretty cool. Slight variations of what was released, but he did some part mixes that I thought added to those figures and their overall design.
Yeah, those were pretty cool. I like the red Cobra diver, even the Joe diver was pretty interesting. We got one very similar to it in that one Toys R Us set. But this was actually much closer to the cartoon.
Oreo Builder, have you seen any customs by anybody recently? Not just Joe Customs, but anywhere recently that you were really wowed by?
That's a good question. I have been super busy with other stuff, work and projects and everything else. I've not been online all that much these last couple of weeks. So, or at least not in the critique section. So I can't say that I've been looking. I'll have to catch up, I guess. I'll have to spend a little bit of time in front of my computer catching up.
That's fine. I spent about 5 minutes right before we started recording. So I'm right there with you.
I was really impressed with, just simply for the ingenuity of it, was Mysterious Strangers, G.I. Joe Aftermath, Sigma 6. That was a pretty interesting adapting of the Sigma 6 designs into the 3¾-inch realm using a lot of the Risebreaker parts. Very, very interesting.
So those were pretty cool. He said they were older customs that he forgot to post, but I was really expecting him to go back with Sigma 6 or something, but he actually made them moderner looking, and it really just like the cartoon designs, as if I've seen the cartoon, which never aired in my area at the time. What about you, Josar?
I have to go back to one by Bucky. It's one of the more recent ones he did. It's an updated stretcher. It's he did a good job, kind of like what Oreo Builder did, taking one of those later G.I. Joes and transforming it into kind of a modern era figure. Buffy, I've known him for about 10 years, and he's really grown as a customizer. His technique is awesome, and it's one of those figures that kind of makes me want to, you know, get into my fodder bin and start cracking out and getting some more figures done.
Actually, Bucky has been doing those Air Commandos. You know, he did like the Air Devil and Spirit and all those other figures, and just really knocking them out of the park. But yeah, it's almost weird how Bucky and Oreo Builder's work match up so well together.
So they're challenging together or something.
What a coincidence. We're not the same person, I swear.
No, they're very much not the same person.
Although, Bucky does have in his signature line that he will kill for 10 bits.
That's true.
One that I forgot last episode when we recorded, but it really stood out to me, so it's like a couple of months old now, was Forceful One had done a Zartan, but pre-Cobra, so when he was a hitman back from the Dreadnoughts Origins comic book, where he's got like the hair pulled back in the ponytail kind of look, and just a jeans and biker look to him, and I just thought it was really well done. He did some good sculpting on the hair with that, but like I said, it's a couple months old, so sorry it took me so long to get around to it. I've been busy, leave me alone. And then Brad, you did that rapid fire. You've done some new updates.
Yeah, I've got a couple more in the works. Rapid fire was actually inspired by Jeff, because he was talking on a previous podcast about using a sponge for doing camo, and so I tried it out, and it worked out pretty good.
The camo came out great, and I did that a very similar look in O-ring, but you nailed it in modern. Like I want to copy it because I like my custom so much, and I like yours better.
The sad thing is that, you know, the original Rapid Fire from the original line, I really didn't care that much because he was so fluorescent and everything. But then when I saw the 12-inch, I was like, you know, that just works. You know, ever since then, I've loved that urban camo look.
Yeah, the 12-inch figure for that character just works so much better. Dan, any other customs?
Like I said, the ones that really stood out were the Sigma 6 style customs. There was something else that jumped out at me, so I'm just looking, trying to see if I can find it. Oh, the Iron Wheels Comedian from Watchmen.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That was very cool looking.
Unknown Soldier 13's Darkseid, what he did to convert a Hulk to Darkseid was pretty awesome.
I'm glad you brought that one up. That one was on my list too. Oh, yeah. Like, you think he used, like, Darkseid's part somewhere, but no, that's all a Hulk, Marvel Hulk figure that he did sculpting on, but the sculpting is so clean.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Well, it looks like without Jeff on board, this has been a quick episode.
You guys.
Codename Iowa, their show is coming up on November 16th. Anything else we got going on, coming up, you want to talk about? All right.
It was an interesting show tonight. It was great learning about the Assembly Required Con, which it sounds like such a great convention. I wish I was able to get out to do it.
Yeah, me too.
And talking to Oreo Builder was a treat. I loved looking at your work, and it was cool to actually get to talk to you, you know, more or less in person.
Yeah, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks. I can take you up on that.
Jeff, thanks for just listening.
Good job.
And
hey, with Jeff listening, that gives us 18 listeners now.
And Michael, you did a great job co-hosting. Thanks for walking us through the Codename Iowa interview and stuff.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime you need me, I'll be here.
And
excellent.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
You guys have a good one.
Good night.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.